This is WSCIRO, Sikh Christian Internet Radio Outreach, a broadcast service of Sikh Christian Teaching and Worship Center, Greater Boston, Massachusetts.
To the kingdom of freedom and true love, where from my God I will never depart. And I'll sing la 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 la, my King, my Lord, and my life. La 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 la, I'll seek you from morning to night. Touching your heart with worship, touching your heart. We're opening the skies with worship. We're opening the skies.
I will not fear. He is with me. Father, entice your bride by allowing her to experience the expressions of your divine love, peace, and joy. Show her where she is tempted to distraction. Help your bride to focus intensely on your love, mercy, and grace. For those who do not know you, nor seek friendship with you and the Father, have mercy on us and on those whose salvation requires our declarative intercession on their behalf. Holy Spirit, gush forth through us to meet their spiritual needs, that they may declare to Jesus, O my Jesus, forgive me my sins, save me from the fires of hell, lead all souls to heaven, especially those in most need of your mercy. I need your mercy now, Lord. Send your Holy Spirit to me. Now please, grant to me a sign. Thank you.
And Lord, we just ask that you would just send your Holy Spirit to all the listening audiences on Facebook and YouTube and Vimeo. We just thank you, Lord, and we just thank you, Jesus, for what you're about ready to do in this broadcast. And for those who are just tuning in, I am Dr. Shirley Caniff, and I'm here with my husband, Dr. Jeffrey Caniff, and this is WSCIRO, Seek Christian Internet Radio Outreach of Greater Boston. Sorry for that extra vowel, but hey, we're not perfect, we're just forgiven, right?
Amen.
Amen. Okay, it is Sunday, actually not Sunday right now, we just went into Monday, October 4th. We're doing this at 12:05 a.m. The Lord just wanted us to get this out there, and it's been in the works within the last couple of weeks, but He's got His thumbprint on it, and And if the king has his thumbprint on it, guess what? We have to comply, right? Not in legalism, but because we love him. And we just thank you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Come into our hearts. Come into our lives. And Lord, we just ask that you would just take over this broadcast and that no weapon fashioned or formed against us in the mighty name of Jesus will prosper, and also against those who are destined to listen to this broadcast in the mighty name of Jesus prosper, that nothing, no weapons fashioned or formed against anyone in the area of body, mind, soul, spirit, will, and emotion in the name of Jesus will prosper. We just thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Okay. Well, this is our last, and I don't want to say last, it's not a last broadcast, okay? We were doing this, our series, our faith series, since the beginning of the summertime, and now we're into September, actually in October, and we're just about going into the Feast of the Tabernacles, and we had Warren Marcus on within the last 2 weeks, because it was the beginning of the Jewish holiday with Rosh Hashanah, then Yom Kippur, the Day of Atonement, and now we're going to go into the Feast of the Tabernacles, and hopefully we'll have Warren here probably sometime this week if he can fit in into his busy schedule, because he does he is executive director and producer of Sid Roth's show Messianic Vision, and it's supernatural. So we're going to try, just pray. We're going to try to get him in here. Or maybe we can do some research about just exactly what happens during the Feast of the Tabernacles and why it's so important for the people of God who are redeemed, who have received Yeshua in their hearts as Lord and Savior, how it's so important for the Gentile part of the body of Christ, to really grab hold of this feast day and understand it and do it, what it decrees, what the Lord has decreed from heaven regarding the Feast of the Tabernacles. Okay, so since the spring, I would say, latter part of the spring, the beginning of the summer, the Lord began to download into our spirits, into our hearts, teachings on faith. And it was a series, and it seemed like it was very progressive in nature, and it just seemed like one topic built upon another. And we started off with giving an update about what's going on in Haiti, and the news media, and a lot of people were observing how resilient the Haitian people were. And the Lord started ministering to me at that point. This is after the earthquake in January 2010. Just the different levels of faith and why they are resilient and how the Lord is going to use this to bear witness as to the degree of faith that's really in everyone's heart, especially the believers who receive Jesus as Lord and Savior. So we started off with resilient faith, resilient and relevant faith, the real revolution. And then I started to go into bootstrap faith. That was the second faith talk series, and then perseverant faith was the third, reckless faith was the fourth, undying faith was the fifth, faith that moves mountains was the sixth talk, and then purifying faith was the seventh, and it's purifying faith in the fiery furnace. And then the eighth talk was in relation to purifying faith, was part two, crying out faith in the fiery furnace. So it was both of those topics were part one and part two, but as it related to the fiery furnace of affliction. Okay, so we have, I believe we were on the ninth one, peacemaking faith. And the tenth, which is tonight, is the leap of faith, okay? And we're going to talk more about just what it is, and I'm going to share with you what my definition. We all have our personal definition of faith, and mine pertains to the biblical definition of faith. And we're going to look at Soren Kierkegaard, who is a philosopher, you know, that talked about Libra faith. Many of the church fathers actually learned from the philosophies that were before them. But, you know, as they were walking out their faith, the Holy Spirit began to take over. But, you know, a lot of these of the apostles and disciples of the early days of the faith of our fathers after Jesus, you know, came back from the dead and went back up to heaven, they, because of the power of the Holy Spirit and the Holy Spirit being a teacher and a comforter sent to us from Jesus and bringing them into all truth, began to teach them about the very rudiments of faith and how they were to conduct the day in and day out activities in the Holy Spirit. So, you know, we're just gonna look into a little bit of that history. I'm not gonna bore you with the theological angle, but more about how it relates to faith. Okay, and we will be looking at Luke 17. So get your Bibles and keep them by your side. In Hebrews, we're gonna explore Hebrews again. Look at Hebrews 11:1, and I believe it's also Hebrews 3. Okay, and then we're going to look into examples in the scriptures, in the New Testament, and also the Old Testament. We're going to look more at Exodus and just what happened, how the Lord was imparting faith to the people of Israel, the children of Israel, and also we're going to look into some examples of the characters in the scriptures, and because we're the family of God, but you know, Jesus and Mary and the woman who presented costly perfume to Jesus, how she stepped out in extravagant faith, and how she took that a leap of faith within that. All right, so we're going to look at all those very closely. And then there is going to be an altar call. I felt as we were preparing for the show, the Lord was showing me there were some people that were going to be so touched by this broadcast that they were going to want to take that leap in faith, okay? Leap into faith from their faith and united to the faith of the Father through Jesus and the Holy Spirit to come into a greater walk with the Lord. And for those who, you know, haven't received Jesus in their heart or life at all, because nobody was around to witness until now, you will have that opportunity to come to the Lord, you know, repeating the sinner's prayer. But after that, if you're not baptized through water baptism, we suggest that you do, because that'll be a new birth for you. Mm-hmm. And you would put on the nature of Christ through the water baptism. Okay. So, this is so awesome. But before we go on to talk about a leap of faith, I just want to make two announcements. We have had the pleasure on Saturday morning to go to the Bridge Metro West Church in Natick from 10 to 12. Really close, more to 11, but you know, we're trying to get there. We want to get there for the full 2 hours, because you know, even though you know we worship, we worship and we go beyond space and time because it's eternity. We step into that realm. You know, we don't really, you know, we're not really aware of time, but it, you know, there has to be a time so that people can meet on this side of glory. So, Paul David Guidry, a worship pastor over to the Bridge Metro West Church in Natick, and his team are, sending out, invites to on Facebook and from their website to come, you know, and minister to the King with no agenda. You know, it's not a bad thing to have an agenda if it's the will of the Lord and you know, there's a conference and there's a theme and everything. There has to be some kind of direction and focus. But, you know, the Lord's been moving on people's hearts to just come before Him, you know, with a pure heart and clean hands and just no agenda, but just to love on Him. And we're doing it not because we have to, it's because the Lord just, He's just calling His bride, you know, He's wooing His bride as we minister to Him. It's a give and take situation, you know, it's a mutual giving and sharing of our heart with the Lord's heart, and it's just awesome. And we don't know, you know, from glory to glory what's going to happen, but that's the surprise in this whole thing. That's the adventure. And so we urge you, you know, it's every other Saturday to come, you know, and to 7 Strathmore Road. And I believe it's Strathmore Road, and I'm trying to read my writing here. Where is it, Jeff? Is it? Okay.
7 Strathmore.
Oh, it's right here. It's on this piece of paper. The Bridge Metro West Church, 7 Strathmore Road in Natick, Mass. Okay, and if you want to know more about ministering to the King, call either John Thomas or Paul David Guidry at 1508-651-0277. And there's also going to be a conference happening the first of the year, the first week of the year, between January 6th and the 8th. It's going to start at 6 o'clock on Thursday, okay? And they will be hosting the Word in Spirit Life, laying a biblical foundation for a spiritual experience. The speakers will be R.T. Kendall, Larry Christensen, Mark DuPont, and John E. Thomas, the senior pastor. Registration will be $59 at the door. And if you register even up to 7 days before the event, it will only be $49. That's the early bird special. And again, you know, if you want to know more about this, you can visit this website, www.mwbridge.com. That's www.mwbridge.com. Or 508-651-0277. So we got those things out of the way, okay? And I just want to just urge you, look for a book. We are going to be doing a book. The title has a lot to do with, we're still praying on this, the last 10 episodes of Faith Talk Live Prayer, where we talked about the different levels of faith. And I just went back, and I urge anyone who has not listened to those talks, go back. I've been telling you, you'll be glad you did, because I've already discussed them at the beginning of this broadcast, but we have them archived, and just type it, these titles in. We also have them on Facebook under Faith Talk Live Prayer. We actually have a fan page. Become a friend of mine, Dr. Shirley Caniff. That's my personal page, but we also have a fan page with just Faith Talk Live Prayer. And I post all of our shows on that, and also Blog Talk Radio advertises for us on a separate page, and as we are uploading new shows, so you'll get it both ways, and become our friend, and become our fan. We're going to be up to 5,000 pretty soon. I don't know how long, but. We're at right now approaching 3,000 friends, on my personal page. I also play Farmville, and you'll see that from time to time when you come. Farmville has another part to it where, people that are raising money for different causes, such as, for the recent Haiti earthquake. Haiti's being built up slowly, and every time I'm on Farmville, working on my farm, I keep my eyes and ears open for that, because, that's just my heart. And I've been planting beets for Haiti, and making, donations. Small donation goes a long way, but it opens up, seeds that you can plant on your own farm, virtual farm, and things like that. And all my friends, are doing the same thing too. It's just really awesome. It's like we have a Christian community within Farmville, seems like when you're a believer, you're more, you want to plant those seeds, you know. What were you saying, Jeff?
Well, the latest Fondle fundraising campaign is to build a school in Haiti and to provide school supplies to the students that would attend it. And the goal amount of donations, cash donations that Facebook is going to give is $200,000 for the building of the school. And donations were received and are, I think they're still being received until they reach the maximum amount they have planned to give. And Facebook people have been very generous to the cause of Haiti.
Yes, it's very fun to just to do this. I mean, I guess when people come to my farm, I really believe it's definitely blessed. I have a cross on it, and I urge a lot of my neighbors to, evangelistic, with your farm. And there's just some wonderful things that people have been putting on their farm, over and above, farm animals and houses and barns and things like that. And it's just awesome. And then we're helping each other out and visiting each other's farms. And it just seems that, Farmville is more than a game. It's a community, and it teaches you how to be more aware of your neighbor and how you can help them, with their farm and their produce. And, there's different ways of, there's also a farmer's market on there as well. And it's just, this game has just evolved. It's just experience. I like to call it more an experience. So anyways, I urge you, come to Facebook, become my friend, join me on Farmville, and I also pray for my friends and neighbors too. And it's just, God's just doing something there. That's all I can say. Teaching us to become a community in different ways, Anyways, I just want to resume our faith talk, like prayers, level series of faith series. I want to talk more about the leap of faith, because I believe that when we talk about faith, it needs to be progressive, because that's just the nature of faith. It's progressive. It grows. It's a substance that grows. It's not just a substance. It's a gift that's a substance that grows, as we were saying in all the other previous faith talks, and as the book of Hebrews defined it, the author in the book of Hebrews, some say it was Paul, but that it's really not understood, and even in the beginning of the book of Hebrews, they believe it was an unknown apostle, because Paul was assigned to the Gentiles. He was apostle of the Gentiles, and in the book of Hebrews primarily was centered towards ministering to the Hebrew people at the time, and things like that. Just reminded them about the different feasts and the Ark of the Covenant, and now that that Jesus, the High Priest, is forever making intercession on behalf of the saints on the earth. That he has put the Ark of the Covenant in the heart of man, in the tabernacle of man. So, this is it's very deep. It's a very deep teaching once you understand it in the perspective of the Jewish feast days and the High Holy Days and things like that. Now, Jeff, were you about ready to say something before I went in? Okay. Well, if the Lord chose you, just get something, because the Lord always blessed you and blesses you with revelation from heaven. Feel free to tap me on my shoulder or and be gentle. Anyways, so before we go on, I just wanted to say that when I got up Sunday morning on the Lord's Day to begin my day, I woke up and the Lord started to minister to me as soon as I woke up. And he said, just tell my people that he is sealing the grafted in branches, okay? In Romans 11, Paul talks about that. The Apostle Paul talks about ingrafted branches, how the Gentiles are ingrafted branches for the sake of Israel. Because the gospel originally went to the house of Israel and they originally rejected the message because it was God's plan at the time. And the gospel, because of that, went to the nations, the Gentile nations, until the fullness of the Gentiles come in. And then, according to Apostle Paul, the idea is this will invoke the Jewish people's jealousy because of, you know, their eyes are going to be awakened to understand that Jesus is the Jewish Messiah. But, you know, also, you know, and their rejection meant riches for the whole world. I'm talking about spiritual riches, meaning that whatever the spiritual fruit was of the life, death, and resurrection message of Jesus, because of that rejection, the message, you know, the blessing of that had to go to the out into the world, out into the Gentiles, to be a witness, to bear witness and to be a witness, and to produce the fruit of the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus, okay? And once the fruits were established throughout the earth, the Jewish people's eyes would be opened, and because of the spiritual maturity and because of how it connected to the feast that Warren talked about, that Warren Marcus had talked about in the previous Faith Talks Live Prayer regarding the Feast of the Tabernacles, and how the Lord, how God has always ordained from the book of Exodus and Leviticus certain feasts, and that he decreed and ordained certain feasts for the house of Israel, for the people of Israel to be obedient to, because it was his way of forming a people. It was his way of governing a people from heaven. So and things like that. So Jesus did it all. He fulfilled the law, and so as he did this, there's also faith that is being cultivated because of this in a greater way. There's an expectation of faith that comes from heaven to God's people, but it's through our free will that we have to reach out and grab hold of that faith, okay? And remember what I was the analogy that I had given you, that the Lord has shown me in the previous episode of the different levels of faith, where the Lord was showing me, you know, and I actually had a dream about this. A fishing rod was put in my hand, and we were on a hill, and there was a lamppost on the hill, and the Lord told us to go fishing, but there was no water. But, you know, I was like, what do we do, fish into the darkness? Yeah, right. But anyways, the fishing rod of faith is the hope, you know. And because faith is this substance of things hoped for. And what are we hoping for? We're hoping for, you know, what's before us. And, you know, and the fish that we are to catch is actually the revelation. And the hook is the one, is the anchor of hope that secures that revelation. So that we can see with the spiritual eyes of revelation the destiny that is in front of us. And, you know, it can take different forms and you know, whatever it is that the Lord wants you to bring in, and bring into the present moment just by capturing it with your eyes, the lens, with the spiritual lens of your revelatory eyes. Alright, so you can have faith for that thing in the near and distant future. So, we'll cover that again as we delve deep into this conversation. So anyways, I want to give out to the word for today, when the Lord woke me up as I was waking up to begin my day. The Lord is sealing the grafted in branches. We, the Gentile believers, are entering into the season of being sealed. I never heard this before. But from all the other, from all the other prophets that were out there, I never heard it like this before. And I know that because every time the Lord reveals something to me, I write it down to keep it to myself, or I talk to my husband about it. It's always, appropriate that someone else also would get the same thing too. But I never quite heard this particular word given like this before. We, the Gentile believers, are entering into the season of being sealed by the Lord. We are coming into the fullness of the cultivation of the of our fruit as grafted in branches into the tree of Israel. Okay, we are coming into a certain kind of ripeness just before the great harvest. But right now, the Lord's sealing us. And I asked my husband, I'm like, when someone grafts a branch into a tree that they didn't come from in real life, do they do anything with, do they seal the branches? And and my husband made me aware, well, think about if the branches being people and what the angels are going to be commissioned to doing what they've the John the Divines are in the book of Revelation, and also what was spoken about in Ezekiel, is that there's going to be a tar is Greek for cross, marked in the foreheads of the believers,
Also, in the example of being grafted into the natural olive tree, when a person wants to graft a branch, usually it's a better branch from a better tree, or that will help increase the fruit.
Mm-hmm.
But what happens is there's an incision made in the main tree, and that branch is cut in such a way that it will fit into that hole. But you've left a wound. So in order to protect that new branch and allow it to grow, it has to be covered with something. I think in biblical days they might have used beeswax,
mm-hmm,
to cover it over so insects would not cause the tree to get an infection or of parasites or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of harm. And the sealing over of the wound, and as well as what the Lord said through John, the sealing of God's people. Well, it's also three things. It's an identification mark, it's a mark of protection, the mark of healing, deliverance, and so on.
That's right. So the Lord is preparing a mighty thing for the house of Israel, but as the fullness of the Gentiles, we're entering almost the close of the fullness of the Gentiles. And it will be marked by that seal that's going to be put on the foreheads of all those who the Lord calls by name. Okay, so this is why we need to continue to pray for the peace of Jerusalem, Psalm 122, because the Lord is about ready to move in power and great glory upon the house of Israel. And we are in these exciting times, folks. We are there. And I really believe that this seal has a lot to do with the love for Israel. That's part of it. Once we get that seal, the light of Revelation is going to dawn upon us. It's going to be turned on. It's already turned on in me and a lot of people a lot of worshipers. And I really believe it's going to be through the worshipers first. I really believe that the part of that seal has a lot to do with worshipers understanding who they are in Messiah, in Yeshua, and what their purpose is, relating to the salvation of Israel. So, but there's a word of warning that goes along with this. A word of warning to the people of God. Don't worry about the enemy and what the enemy is doing in the world. It's a distraction. It will only cause emotional chaos, and this can get in the way of fruitful worship. Bind your emotions to the Lord, to the heart of the Lord. He can handle it. He can handle your yoke. The Lord has a plan for the enemy of ourselves. The evil that he will perpetrate will cave in on itself. The sad thing is there will be casualties, many casualties for those who have not received Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior into their lives and who have come under the bondage of the evil one. So we must not be distracted, but with all diligence we must press in and pray for the salvation and deliverance of those, especially our loved ones, of those who are trapped by the ways of this world. The Lord is going to and fro throughout the earth to tear down the demonic matrixes and strongholds that man has erected through idol worship, through the occult worship, and all these things that are just, you know, trying to bring darkness to this earth. Okay. He is also healing the body of Christ of miscommunication or failure to communicate God's intentions to the body of Christ into the earth. The Lord also wants to set people free of the spirit of suspicion. Suspicion of, instead of concern, unhealthy concern, it's suspicion without any cause to build up, okay? Build up and encourage and exhort people. Especially if you see somebody that may be a little off in their focus. The idea is not to judge in suspicion, but to encourage, exhort, you know, the one that needs that kind of mentorship to a better place in the Lord. And then there was a question the Lord just wanted to, for me to talk, you know, ask each one of you. Do all of you know that you are God's divine imprint? You are His divine imprint because you are made in His image and you are set apart. I had that on my status a couple of weeks ago, and I got some good responses. For those of you who do not know this and you would like to receive Jesus in your heart, before we go on any further in this broadcast, I really feel moved and called it good to lead you in a sinner's prayer. And for those who have never been baptized, do the, recite the sinner's prayer, you know, and just really just surrender, and then find yourself a pastor or a believer that you really trust, that you ask the Lord, and they can actually baptize you in the name, and ask them to baptize you in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Okay, it's very important because you will take on the nature of Christ, the mind of Christ, and the heart of Christ. All right, and it's all about the new heart. We'll talk about that in another broadcast. I'm going to talk more about the character of Christ and how to put on Christ. But, you know, we've got to stay focused in this broadcast. And so, let's see. Let's pray the sinner's prayer and just get into a relaxed place. You know, and if you have some worship music in the background, by all means, put that on. And just really, really open yourself up to the move of the Holy Spirit moving upon your heart. He's hovering over you like His Spirit hovered over the waters in the book of Genesis at the beginning of creation. Okay. Did you know you're 91% made of water? Your blood is 91% made of water. And it's just quite amazing. I'm also going to talk about all that in the human heart and, you know, how it's connected to, you know, the heart of the Lord, the chambers the four rooms of mystery. It's amazing when the Lord revealed that to me, but we will say that to the next show. Anyways, so let's just, you know, repeat after me, okay? Dear Lord Jesus and Abba Father.
Dear Lord Jesus and Abba Father.
I come before you today.
I come before you today.
A poor and wretched sinner in need of a Savior.
A poor and wretched sinner in need of a Savior.
I am sorry for my sins.
I am sorry for my sins.
Lord, please forgive me for my sins.
Lord, please forgive me for my sins.
I believe that you were crucified.
I believe that you were crucified.
Died.
And was buried.
And on the third day. You rose again.
From the dead.
And you sent us your Holy Spirit. As a gift to mankind. So that I may be sanctified.
Purified.
Delivered.
Healed.
Transformed.
And set free.
By the power of your Holy Spirit. I am asking you now.
To come into my heart.
In my life.
In a very special way.
And to give me a new heart.
In place of my stony heart.
Please send me your Holy Spirit.
To be my comforter.
And to bring me into the fullness.
Of faith.
And the fullness of truth. The truth of who you are.
Who I am.
And the truth of the kingdom of God.
Moving through me.
In me.
And around me.
Father. Make me an instrument.
Of your peace.
And a worshiper.
After your own heart.
And cleanse me.
From all unrighteousness.
And make me whole.
In your righteousness.
And to the spotless bride.
You have called me to be.
Fill me completely with your love.
Your peace.
And joy.
So that I may be a faithful witness.
Bringing others to you.
And the fulfillment of the Great Commission.
And the great harvest of souls.
Amen.
And I just want to just say in our Father, so that the kingdom of God can come upon you in power and in glory. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, now and forever. Amen. And I'm just going to just take a little break. We're going to go into a song by Joanne McDatter on the Holy Spirit.
Holy.
Okay, that was Come Holy Spirit from Joanne McFadder's album In the Beginning. All right, back to Leap of Faith. Leap of Faith, in its most commonly used meaning, is the act of believing in or accepting something intangible or unprovable or without empirical evidence. That's scientific evidence. And a lot of times people associate Soren Kierkegaard, who's the philosopher I was talking to you about, you know, they associate him with that, but he was actually more like talking about a leap in, leap out of faith, you know, a leap to faith. I'm sorry, leap to faith, not leap of faith, but leap to faith. But anyway, so you know, this is attributed to Soren Kierkegaard. However, he himself never used the term. He referred to this, like I said, as a leap of faith. I'm kind of repeating myself for those who didn't get it. A leap of faith, according to Kierkegaard, involves circularity, something, you know, pondering, swimming inside your head. But, you know, we don't want to get into that, because we're going based on biblical evidence, okay? So, you know, this show is going to be focused, the rest of this broadcast is going to be focused on looking at faith as a substance. You know, that's the kind of faith we are going to leap into. And we're going to give various examples. I'm going to use a couple of examples from my life. And hopefully you're going to be able to relate to the examples that are given. But my husband's going to be reading from Hebrews 3, 7,
6. The time is 1 o'clock a.m.
in a couple of minutes. And he's going to talk about a warning against the unbelief, because that's what really hinders us leaping into faith, okay? My definition of faith is similar to the biblical. It's a combination of biblical faith and my experience. You know, what happens in me, and I know in many of your lives you can relate to this, is that I set my eyes, my spiritual eyes, or the eyes of revelation on what I cannot see with my physical eyes, and I set my mind with the Holy Spirit on the eternal realm and believing for the things that are not as if they were. So my husband's going to read from Hebrews right now, Hebrews 3, from 1 through probably like 14, about warning against, and this is, you know, again, the apostle who was ministering to the Hebrews about unbelief, okay?
Reading from Hebrews 3, starting at verse 1. Therefore, holy brothers, who share in the heavenly calling, fix your thoughts on Jesus, the apostle and high priest whom we confess. He was faithful to the one who appointed him, just as Moses was faithful in all God's house. Jesus had been found worthy of greater honor than Moses. Just as the builder of a house is greater honor than the house itself. For every house is built by somebody, but God is the builder of everything. Moses was faithful as a servant in all of God's house, testifying to what would be said in the future. But Christ is faithful as a son over God's house, and we are his house, if we hold on to our courage and the hope of which we boast. Warnings against unbelief. So as the Holy Spirit says, today if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as you did in the rebellion during the time of testing in the desert, where your fathers tested and tried me, and for 40 years saw what I did. That is why I was angry with that generation. And I said, their hearts are always going astray, and they have not known my ways. So I declared on oath in my anger, they shall never enter into my rest. See to it, brothers, that none of you has a sinful, unbelieving heart that turns away from the living God, but encourage one another daily as long as it is called today,
so that none of you may be hardened by sin's deceitfulness. We have come to share in Christ if we hold firmly to the end the confidence we had at first. As has just been said, today if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as you did in the rebellion.
Wow, so, you know, so that's why, you know, we need to believe. We really have to really cling on to a believing heart, because it's the believing heart that really activates faith, okay? And faith is tiny as a mustard seed. I want to read from Luke 17. It was it was funny because I was just really at the beginning of today just asking the Lord for guidance as to what scriptures am I going to read for this broadcast. And so I was at Mass today, and I was it was a reading in the scriptures of the church from Luke 17, and basically, Jesus is teaching his disciples lessons of faith. And it says, he says, things that cause people to sin are bound to come, but woe to that person through whom they come. It would be better for him to be thrown into the sea with a millstone tied around his neck than for him to cause one of these little ones to sin. So watch yourselves. If your brother sins, rebuke him, and if he repents, forgive him. If he sins against you seven times in a day, this is in a 24-hour time period, and seven times comes back to you and says, I repent, forgive him. Then the apostles said to the Lord, probably exasperated, understanding, you know, about the warfare that exists between human beings. They said, oh, they were so overwhelmed. They were like, oh, increase our faith then, you know. I mean, wouldn't you say that? I mean, especially living in this time, right? This time of darkness. Well, you know, if we're called to do this, Lord, you know, if we have to forgive someone who's wronged us seven times in one day, okay, especially if they come back and say they repent and probably go back and do another wrong thing, we have to keep, you know, exercising our faith muscle. We're not going to have as much faith as we need to do this. So they got very curious. And so Jesus' reply to them was, okay, if you have faith as small as a mustard seed. This is mustard seed faith. It's very tiny. It's almost as tiny as a grain of sand. And the thing about this is that it starts off as a tiny, tiny seed, and the tree grows to be very, very big and spreads its leaves out and everything. So if you have faith as small as a mustard seed, you can say to this mulberry tree, be uprooted and planted in the sea, and it will obey you. Suppose one of you had a servant plowing or looking after the sheep. Would he say to the servant when he comes in from the field, come along now and sit down to eat? Would he not rather say, prepare my supper, get yourself ready, and wait on me while I eat and drink? After that you may eat and drink. Would he thank the servant because he did what he was told to do? So you also, when you have done everything you were told to do, should say, we are unworthy servants. We have only done our duty. So that's really where this faith exercising, this faith is going to bring you to. It's going to bring you to the greater capacity to forgive, okay? Because the more that you forgive, the more mercy will be shown to you and the kingdom. The more that the kingdom expands, because each time you progress in faith, you're going to go from glory to glory. You're going to, each time you take that leap, You're going to go from glory to glory. Your faith, your new heart that the Lord has given you is going to increase in spirit capacity. And for those who receive the Holy Spirit and you have the Holy Spirit, there's that gift of tongues that comes along with it. We'll talk more in the gifts, you know, in the Holy Spirit. And that's all exercised by faith. It's all acquired by faith. And it's just, there might have to be an 11th show on this. And so, well, let me just go to Galatians, okay? So we can, let's go to Galatians very, very quickly, okay, before we move further into this. Because I want to talk about, very briefly, about gifts of the Holy Spirit, okay, in the ministry of the Holy Spirit. You know, what is that faith connector? The faith connector are these gifts and fruits, gifts that produce fruit, okay? Yeah, gifts that produce fruit. And good character, and everything. Yes, let's see. Wow, I have this label too, and I can't find Galatians. I know it's here. Yes, it's right before Ephesians. All right. Life by the Spirit. I think it's here. Yes. So I say, live by the Spirit, living by the Holy Spirit in your relationship with the Holy Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the sinful nature. For the sinful nature desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the sinful nature. They are in conflict with each other, so that you do not do what you want to do. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. You're not under the law of the flesh, of the old heart nature. The acts of the sinful nature are obvious, which are sexual immorality, impurity and debauchery, idolatry and witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions and envy, drunkenness, orgies, and the like. I warn you, as I did before, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the sinful nature with its passions and desires, since we live by the Spirit, which is living by faith. Let us keep in step with the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoke and envy in each other. Okay, and there, I need to go to Corinthians, because Corinthians talks more about the gifts. This is the fruit. This is what the day in and day out exercise of the faith will bring you to. And it's surprising. In the Holy Spirit, between the gifts and the fruit, there's faith. Faith is a gift, and it's also a fruit. You know, and how is that? How is that? Because we have to use our faith to step into faith, to leap into faith, and it's just quite amazing how, you know, I was always asking the Lord, why is it that faith is a gift and a fruit at the same time? You know, greater faith is given to us by God. That's why the disciples had asked Jesus to increase their faith, because they knew where it was coming, that this kind of faith that they needed had to come from something of divine origin. Okay, so let's go into spiritual gifts. And this is 1 Corinthians 12. Now about spiritual gifts. Brothers, I do not want you to be ignorant. You know that when you were pagans, somehow or other you were influenced, led astray to mute idols. Therefore, I will tell you that no one who is speaking by the Spirit of God says, Jesus be cursed, and no one and say Jesus is Lord, except by the Holy Spirit. There's the Holy Spirit again. There are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of working, but the same God works all of them in all men. Now to each one, the manifestations of the Spirit is given for the common good. To one, there is given through the Spirit the message of wisdom. To another, the message or gift of knowledge by means of the same Spirit. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, gifts of healing by the Holy Spirit. To another, miraculous powers. To another, prophecy. To another, distinguishing between spirits. To another, speaking in different kinds of tongues. And that's to edify your spirit, to make it grow, so that you can expand and bring the kingdom of God to the earth, and instill another, the interpretation of these tongues. All these tongues are the work of one in the same Spirit, and He gives them to each one just as He determines. So that is awesome, don't you think? And so there shouldn't be competition, if we're truly, 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 lovers of Him, we want this for everyone, because it's the body of Christ is bigger than individuals. It's a corporate entity, and like I said in the previous broadcast, you'd be surprised who's going to be in the body, who the Lord is going to recognize as being truly part of His body when He comes back to the earth and sets up His throne in Jerusalem, and the new Jerusalem. All right. It says the implication of taking a leap of faith can, depending on the context, carry, and you've probably heard this in your circle of the circle that you walk in, the faith circle that you walk in, especially when you're out there doing street ministry, talking to all kinds of people with different, belief systems. It says the implication of taking a leap of faith can, depending on the context, carry positive or negative connotations, as some feel it is a virtue to be able to believe in something without evidence, while others feel it is foolishness. This is the universal argument. But if we were to take a more biblical approach to explain faith, we would have to examine very closely Hebrews 11:1 in the New Testament, when the apostle who wrote the book, we were saying earlier how it may have been a student under Paul. We don't think it was Paul himself, because he was appointed the Gentiles. But they began in Hebrews 11:1 the statement about what faith is. Faith is a substance of things hoped for and an evidence of things not seen. Okay. We hope for faith because we have seen a picture of it in a dream or in a vision or through inspiration. And it's evident, it becomes evidence because we hold on to that thing that we have seen or heard with our spiritual ears, in spiritual eyes, things not yet seen in the present moment, but in some distant or near or distant future. But it's reserved for the future, and it's part of our destiny. So I hope this is, that this clarifies a lot of questions that you have in regards to what faith is and how it operates and how you should view it. I hope it clarifies your perspective, your faith perspective. Okay, I hope that you're getting a little bit more understanding with that, which is a gift of the Holy Spirit too. Okay, I want to just go into briefly before we come to the close of the show, the leaps of faith that were made in history. You may recognize some of this, okay, but we're just for the sake of just bringing glue to this topic, so you can understand it in a greater way how it relates to you. Let's see. Leap. This is the first leap. I was exploring Exodus. I was reading it, and you know, the Lord, and he just put a thumbprint on his cry through Moses, let my people go. This was God's declarative cry through Moses. The people of Israel were being liberated from slavery of Pharaoh, from the slavery of the Egyptian king, you know, which is Pharaoh. And as a result of this, after the decree was uttered through Moses, through the words that the Lord imparted to Moses, you know, when he gave him the Ten Commandments, I'm sorry, that was before he gave the Ten Commandments. This is when he commissioned him to set the people free. Signs and wonders began to follow Moses. All right. This caused the Israelites to believe that God was indeed behind Moses and that he was speaking through Moses. This caused the fear of the Lord and an awe to come over all of Egypt, because they knew that Moses, you know, they knew Moses from before, but they also, you know Moses now, about, you know, like, what happened to him, there was a change in him, you know, and he had a God encounter, and so this began the exodus, the physical exodus and spiritual exodus, you know, of the children of Israel into their promised land. And we as spiritual, you know, Israel, we are going through a spiritual exodus, where we're moving from the flesh, in, you know, to the spirit. We're crossing over, okay? I jotted down here. I took a little, you know, I made a little notation about, you know, why I thought, you know, why it took them 40 years instead of 40 days to, you know, get through that wilderness. It's because the Lord was, you know, as I was praying, the Lord began to show me that he called them out of bondage because he was, you know, looking for people to be called his own. And, you know, there was a lot of undoing that he had to do, you know, especially related to the curse of bondage to slavery. There was so many things that that they were walking in that were not of God, that, you know, he had to undo all that. He had to really, you know, he was setting up the way to worship him, and you know, just, you know, ways, you know, of feast days and how to have them, how to hold them. It was all anchored. It was all, you know, geared. I'm using the wrong word. Geared to go towards transformation, and a forming of a community of worshipers that would worship him in spirit and truth. But he had to really break down a lot of walls and barriers that were erected under the authority, when they were under the authority of Pharaoh in Egypt. You know, in heart and in mind, but he had to also increase the faith to, you know, through the miracles of the manna, and, you know, the pillar of fire by night and the cloud by day, and, you know, and in every, you know, he had to, you know, convince them, you know, God had to convince them, you know, of his power. And he just had to deprogram them of the pharisaical way of thinking, you know, even then, or, you know, when they were in bondage, you know, the bondage to the legalistic system of the Egyptians. So that's why it took 40 years. And he wanted, you know, to really impart to them the blessings, the generational blessings, you know, of the four generations. You know, they had, back then, they had children very early, you know, so 40 years was four generations. And so he was just showing that to me. He was breaking it down. I'm sure there was a lot more that, you know, on the Lord's heart, but these are just, you know, the generalities of what was on the Lord's heart regarding the 40 years instead of the 40 days. Okay. And this is why Jesus, he fasted in the desert for 40 days to, you know, prepare for God to go for the second Exodus, you know, where he would condemn, you know, everything in the flesh that was contrary to the Spirit of the living God in the heart of mankind. Anyways, so, you know, the second leap of faith, you know, if you look in Luke 1, where Mary, you know, is visited by an angel, you know, and the angel Gabriel is telling her that she's been chosen to become the mother of Messiah, and the same angel also made her aware how her cousin Elizabeth is 6 months pregnant, you know, with John the Baptist, and beckoned her to go and help her cousin, who was 60 years old. So that was a miracle. She was barren. She was thought to be barren at the time. And, of course, Mary conceived without a man, right, in the power of the Holy Spirit, not on her own doing. It was from heaven. And so, you know, when the two meet each other, you know, they have this divine encounter and acknowledgement of the miracle that just happened in both of their lives in relation to their destiny and the destiny of mankind, that, you know, Jesus and, you know, the Holy Spirit, you know, incarnate in Jesus in the womb of Mary, and the meeting of John the Baptist, you know, of Elizabeth and John the Baptist was in the womb of Elizabeth. It was time for the baby to leap, and, you know, John the, and upon Mary meeting her cousin, who was described as to be barren, upon that meeting, the child in Elizabeth's womb leapt with great joy because of the presence of the Messiah in Mary's womb. And that was a leap of faith that the baby took, but it was because of the acknowledgement of what was decreed from heaven about the Messiah coming, you know. And it was such a huge leap of faith that it was a leap of faith definitely for the salvation of mankind and what was going to take place. And, you know, and to this day, we are basking in that, and we are receiving the blessings of that on that moment, because somebody could have said no. You know, what if Mary said no? What if she was in rebellion? That, you know, there would be no story, right? So, anyways, in the leap three, I call it leap of faith number three, just before Jesus was going to be arrested, and he was with his disciples, this woman comes in, you know, a woman of the night, probably, you know, I guess it was like she was known to be a prostitute, comes in with a costly perfume and crying because of the revelation that Jesus is the Messiah, and she came in, she wanted her sins to be forgiven, and she just came in weeping. She recognized the Messiah, and the only way she could show her love to him was to cry, you know, her tears upon his feet, and then wipe the tears, clean his feet with her hair, and anoint Jesus with her costly perfume. Okay, and that was extravagant faith, because she poured herself out on Jesus in her desperation, and that was a leap of faith that someone that you would least expect that shouldn't have even been there, broke all kinds of rules of protocol, came and just gave her heart to the Lord, like many of you did early on in this broadcast, and began ministering to the king. And her tears, some of them might have been tears of joy because she realized what she really needed, and it was there, and he was there waiting for her. And tears of sadness because of, you know, the wretchedness of who she was and the kind of reputation she had, but knowing that this was it, you know, I'm coming to meet the king, and I'm gonna never be the same. You know, this was, you know, the greatest leap of faith in the scriptures, and they talk, you know, they talk about this in this every day. So, you know, it's just awesome about what we can do. There's no leap of faith that's insignificant to the Lord. They're all significant because it involves you. And you know what? It involves you, encountering the great I Am, the Yeshua HaMashiach. And we just reached the end. Yeah, I think this is a good place to end as we continue on in our journey of faith. You know, I just want to just leave this with you. Just meditate on this. You know, share this link with your friends, because I'm telling you, this is like, it helps. It when I do these broadcasts, I minister to myself. I mean, the Lord's downloading, and so I'm like, wow, this is really great stuff, you know. And it's only through the Holy Spirit, you know. So I just want to just open. I want to offer communion, so that for the people of God, my brothers and sisters, to come into a greater awareness of their need to leap into greater faith. So Lord, by your Holy Spirit, by your cross and resurrection, I'm asking that you would just impart to your people, especially the ones that just came to you for the first time, a greater capacity to leap, to take a greater leap into the faith that you have destined for them to be, for this, you know, to walk in this time, and that they would never be the same as they go from glory to glory and faith to faith. And Lord, that we ask for an open heaven over them right now, in Jesus, in your holy name. Your name that is above every name, and your perfect name. We thank you, Lord. We ask for perfect holiness. Lord, we ask that you would just move in power and glory on their behalf, that you would perfect the characters. You would be there in every area of transition that you call them to, in order for them to occupy that place, occupy that place of faith that you call them to, in Jesus' name. So we ask right now, we offer communion for this, we offer up this, this bread as it is your body broken for them. Lord, you died so that they might have you and have your life more abundantly, that they would walk in the presence of God, in the presence of your love, in the presence of the Holy Spirit, your Spirit, that they would walk in greater freedom and worship you in freedom and in truth and in love. We thank you, Jesus. Lord, we ask for your blood to cover them, to cleanse them, to heal them, to sanctify them, to set them free, to deliver them of anything that hinders this intimate connection, intimate communion with you. We thank you, Lord. We ask that you would just come to our hearts, come into their heart in a very special way. We see the body of Yeshua. My people, receive the blood of Yeshua. Baruch atah Adonai Elohim Melechol Olam. I think I'm saying that right. Amen. See the blood of Yeshua. Well, we are at the end of the show, and I just want to say I love you. God bless you. Have a wonderful week. And become our friend on Faith Talks Live Prayer on Facebook, and also on my regular page, Dr. Shirley Canada. Okay, have a wonderful week, and I'm going to end with a song of the kingdom. Enjoy.
into the air. The dead in Christ will rise first to meet Jesus in the air. Those who've gone on.